Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 21 in verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. This morning, this will serve as the last of our sermon series through the book of Judges, and next week we'll begin preaching on the subjects that are associated directly with the Easter season. Now, in context, this is the last verse in the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It is repeated from a verse which is stated earlier in the book. This verse is, in essence, a summary of the entire book of Judges and a summary of the character of those days. Now, could we not say the same of these days in which we live today as it relates to our country, our state, in our city, in the spiritual condition of much of the milieu in which we live? Now, we shall go further than simply lamenting the state of our world. For what is true of the nation can also be true of our hearts. This is one of the overarching themes in the book of Judges. What was true of the nation of Israel is also true of individuals. And we've gone through the five cycles in the book of Judges, the cycle of sin. And when we engage in sin, we go into bondage to the sin. Then we pray, and when we pray, we receive deliverance, and when we are delivered, then we're able to rest in the Lord. Now, our text breaks down neatly into two parts, and so what better way to break it down than in the order in which God has given it to us through Samuel, his prophet. First, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and secondly, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Now, in the days of the judges, this was before the monarchy, that is, before Saul, the people's choice, was installed as king, before King David, the man after God's own heart, God's choice, and before the days of Solomon. But in the strictest sense, was this really true that there was no king in Israel? God was Israel's king. Before the people chose a king for themselves, the king was the Lord in heaven. Israel was, at least theoretically, still a theocracy, which had the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law of Moses, as the law of the land. Yet, she had rejected God, that he should not reign over them. So, in practice, there was no king in Israel. So the scripture simply states the practical situation of the day in the days of the judges. Now, today, likewise, the living God exercises little or no civil authority over our land, for he has been rejected wholesale. This is no surprise. It should not come as a surprise to us. For when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, he was despised and rejected by men. So it's no wonder that he's despised and rejected by men today. But I ask you, professing Christian, an earnest seeker, is there a spiritual kingdom in your heart ruled by King Jesus? We read in the Gospel of John that he was in the world and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so the challenge goes out to each of us this morning. Are you his disciple? Are you one of his own? Now, when Jesus Christ came, he came first to the lost sheep of Israel, and then to the Samaritans and the Gentiles also. And so, when Christ came unto his own, he came unto all Israel, both the believing remnant and those who believed not, that he might be a witness to the goodness of God and that the people might receive their Messiah. So, this scripture has application not only to believers, but also unbelievers. Before beginning your spiritual journey, settle the matter in your heart. What does it mean to be spiritual? You hear people talk all the time and they'll say, yeah, I'm a very spiritual person. Well, the biblical definition of spiritual is to be like Christ. What does the word Christian mean but a little Christ? So, to be spiritual is to be like Christ. To the degree that you're spiritual is the degree to which you are like Christ. Will you trust your soul to your Creator? Or will you give the world, the flesh, and the devil free reign over your life? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you would be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So I enjoin you again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get off the throne of your own life and allow the Lord to direct your paths and your ways. Let it not be said of you, in those days there was no king. The people had set themselves up as their own authority, and they did according to the dictates of their hearts. And it didn't work out too well, did it? So it is with us. That's why these things are recorded, for our benefit. We find the judges doing all kinds of crazy things. We've got Jephthah offering to sacrifice his daughter, vowing before the Lord to offer as a human sacrifice. We've got Samson running around every woman he sees. Get me that woman, get me that woman, right? God did the best he could. He worked with what he had. But there was not a lot of folks running around trying to do things 100% God's way. And so our second point this morning, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In the days of the judges, there was number one, ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of God's word. And number two, a refusal to accept God's authority. And so it is today. Ignorance of God's word and a refusal to accept God's authority. What is agnosticism and theism if it's not a refusal to be accountable personally to a personal God? God's word is a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. Yet despite its availability today, many grope in the dark without light, who refuse not only to read it, but to heed it. Even many who call themselves Christians, there may be some among our number this morning, don't take the time to learn God's word. They don't take the time to learn it, to read it, to meditate upon it on a daily basis as God has commanded, and therefore are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. And so they go from place to place, belief to belief, doctrine to doctrine, denomination to denomination, church to church, saying that they will do this and they will do that, and they do nothing because there is no sure foundation. There is no objective truth upon which that person is embarking and continuing upon a spiritual journey. For others, it is high time to stop doing what is right in your own eyes and start doing what is right in God's eyes. It's one thing to say these things are true and I accept them as truth and I know I ought to do them. It is another thing to make a vow to the Lord to do these things, to make a good faith effort to do these things, for lack of a better term, knowing that we can't do these things perfectly, and to set about doing them. You claim you love God. You say you love Jesus. Good for you. You do well. But do you make a good faith effort to obey Him as King? You don't hear this verse quoted a lot, especially not in the prosperity, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy circles. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What is if but a condition? A conditional promise. If you will keep my commandments, you will abide. What is it to abide? To live there. Do you want to live in the place where you're experiencing the love of Christ from day to day? Or do you want to live in a place where you're separated in your communion with God? Not that God ever stops loving you or loves you any less, but that you don't experience that love, that joy, that peace, that you don't feel the love. That's not God's fault, friends. That's our fault when we allow ourselves to be separated by sin and refuse to repent. If you know the truth and refuse to heed it, Beware. For everyone to whom much is given, did God give you anything? Has God given you breath today? The ability to get up out of bed and come here this morning and worship Him? Wide availability of the Bible. How many Bibles do you have in your house? 2, 3, 5, 10? The people sitting on the side of you, to the right, to the left, the front and the back. For everything to whom much is given, that's everybody. From him, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So not only do we abound in our blessings, not only the very simple blessings that the Lord has given us, but there is also in view here natural gifts and spiritual gifts. This is the primary application of that particular verse. So if the Lord has given you much, many gifts to share, and given them to you abundantly, then you're required to utilize them and to use them abundantly for the Lord's glory. Our text says this: in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let that not be said of us. For to us, the scripture says this: for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. For all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. There's a whole world out there without direction, without a spiritual king, doing what is right in their own eyes. Let us be holy, be separate. God has called us a priesthood of believers to go out into the world and shine our light before men, that those who are watching might see and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for all you've done. Lord, may thy will be done in our lives, in my life. If there be any areas where I have refused to this point to concede, the throne of my life. May it be that you'll show me the error of my ways, that I might step down, that you might exercise your authority over my life. Lord, I've been too long doing what is right in my own eyes, because I think this is right, or I think that is right. Never bothering to see what you have to say about it in the objective truth of your word. Or worse, disregarding what I know you've said. Dear Lord, may your people, this people, be characterized by lives of holiness and love for you and for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of peace.